Well, if you're regularly here, you know we've been doing a series on stewardship, and we've got one more week to go on that. That'll be next week, but honestly, just this was one of those weeks when I felt the Lord kind of redirecting my mind and my heart, and so we're going to do something a little bit different this morning than our stewardship series, and here's why. I just have felt myself, but I've also been walking with lots of other people that have felt the weight of the brokenness of this world in, I think, especially powerful ways over the last weeks. And so, of course, if we watch the news on a global level, we know the tragedies of Orlando and Turkey and Bangladesh. But then so many of us have had pain and suffering that's hit very close to home as well. I think most of you who are here know about the incredible tragedy just a week ago in the Liberian community. Henry and Samuel were two youth who were swimming in the Merrimack River, and they tragically drowned. Some of you know there has been death among members of our church. We announced a couple weeks ago that my wife Stephanie's father passed away. Others in the church have lost parents or loved ones. I was walking with a couple this past week, not from our church, but from another church, who after 20 years seemed to be right on the edge of divorce. I just heard this morning from Jet and Mildred about a three-year-old in the Liberian community who has been in the hospital for about almost a month, maybe, a three-year-old with kidney failure in the hospital. I was walking down my block earlier this week, and we have friends on our block, and there's a friend who goes to the Journey Church over on Kings Highway, and she knows a number of people at our church, and she knows me, and she just said as I was walking, she said, "I know you guys are going through a lot these days, and I'm praying for you." And God kind of used that. You know, sometimes when you're in the middle of a lot of things, you don't even maybe recognize it. And God used that to help me to kind of say, you know what? There's a lot of hurt going on right now. There's a lot of struggle. And then I woke up the next morning, and I woke up, and I could not get this simple phrase off my mind. And this comes straight out of Psalm 147 and Isaiah 61. And the phrase that I could not get off my mind is this, that the Lord binds up the brokenhearted. The Lord binds up the brokenhearted. And so I just wanted to spend some time today looking at that and thinking through how it is that we experience the healing of God as those who have broken hearts. I've kind of asked myself, do I know God as the one who meets me and binds up my broken heart? And do we as a church know what it looks like to go to God with our broken hearts? And what I love about the Word of God is that it leads us. It leads us in knowing what to do in the midst of our pain and our suffering. So that's where we're going to go today. You'll see some of the scripture passages in your bulletin and also on the screen behind me. I want to read from Psalm 147 and from Psalm 61. You know what, as I do this, I want to pray for us again, but I want to pray for Pastor Roy a minute. Many of you know he's not here this morning. He's preaching at another church, maybe right exactly now. So let me pray for us and for him again. So, Father, we thank you for your word again. Lord, as we read it, open our ears. And Lord, we pray for our dear brother, Roy. Lord, that you would give him confidence and boldness even as he preaches at Crossroads this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and a song of praise is fitting. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He determines the number of the stars. He gives to all of them their names. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Make melody to our God on the lyre. He covers the heavens with clouds. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow on the hills. He gives to the beasts their food and to the young ravens that cry. His delight is not in the strength of the horse, nor his pleasure in the legs of a man, but the Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his steadfast love. And then Isaiah says this. These are the words that Jesus, of course, read from at the very beginning of his ministry. And then he said, these words are fulfilled in your presence. Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. I heard a great, great story this past week that reminded me of how it is that God binds up our broken hearts and brings us healing. And it actually was an example from one of our members, Rebecca, who, I don't know where Rebecca is. She's serving with the kids this morning. But if you don't know Rebecca, she's 15 years old and has just grown up in our church. Wonderful, wonderful. Just encouragement to so many of us. But many of you know that Darren and Charlene have been going through some struggles. So they are leaders in Young Life ministry. They are leaders in youth ministry in some of the roughest places here in the city. They are newlyweds. And Charlene, in the first 6 months, has gone through two surgeries now for back problems. And a while ago, Rebecca chose to go with them to the Young Life camp just to help Charlene in her pain, which, by the way, Charlene was here in a wheelchair last week. Praise God. She is not in a wheelchair today. Yes. but this is what really just kind of struck me was a story. As we were in their house, we were praying with them this past week, and just heard this story about some of the most discouraging times of pain, incredible pain, the middle of the night when Charlene cannot sleep. And Rebecca has been staying with them to try to help out. And in the middle of the night, here's Rebecca, 15 years old, the youth, who Charlene is here to minister to. and the 15-year-old Rebecca is massaging Charlene to help with the pain, and reading from the Psalms, the promises of God, and leading Charlene through her pain and prayer to cry out to God. And what that is a picture of for me is the presence not only of Rebecca, but the presence of God right in the midst of our broken places, with his Spirit and with his Word and with his promises. The Lord binds up the brokenhearted. And what I want to just walk through this morning is six really simple kind of observations that come right out of Psalm 147 and Isaiah chapter 61, just to remind us of where God is in the midst of our pain. One thing that just strikes me so clearly here is the brokenhearted. So you, with your broken heart, you have a place with God. The brokenhearted have a place with God. I think we've got slides for these titles here. But You know, we all struggle, and I think sometimes I hear people struggle with saying, I don't know that I could come to church because of the place I'm in, the hurt, and the sense that everybody else looks like they've got it together. Well, is there anybody here this morning that has it completely together? All right? Anybody here that hasn't known pain, suffering, sin, hurt? I don't see any hands. Okay? The church, as it said, is not a hall of fame for saints, but a hospital for sinners and those who struggle. God welcomes us into his family. The brokenhearted have a place with God. Here in this passage, we see that he gathers the outcasts of Israel. This psalm was written most likely after the exile. So God's people had been taken away from Jerusalem. The Assyrians, the Babylonians brought them into captivity. They were refugees because of a couple of things. One, because of the oppression and the persecution of these other nations. But if you read behind the scenes, Scripture is also clear because of God's discipline as a result of their sin. And so whatever your reasons for feeling lost, it could be things that others have done to you. It could just be circumstances in life. It could be your own sin. What does God do with those who have felt cast off? He gathers them together. He binds up their broken hearts. Jesus, of course, said when he came and ministered in this world you will have trouble. But Jesus also was the one who saw the crowds, and he had compassion on them because they were helpless and harassed like sheep without a shepherd. That's the heart of God. Many of you may feel brokenhearted this morning. You may feel helpless. You may feel harassed. You may struggle. You have a place with God. And I would say you have a place with his people as well. If you don't feel that, especially now, I would say you will at some point. But also, a lot of times we feel it not just because of our own struggles, but because of walking other people with other people who struggle. C.S. Lewis says this. He says, "To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken." To love is to be vulnerable. The brokenhearted have a place with God. I love, and Eileen O'Gorman reminded me of this, I love this phrase, a book by Wendell Berry called Jaber Crow. And he writes about why people go to church. And here's what he says. And this is a story. He says, when they came together, what they came together for was to acknowledge, just by coming, their losses and failures and sorrows, their need for comfort, their faith always needing to be greater, their wish, in spite of all the words and acts to the contrary, to love one another and to forgive and be forgiven, their need for one another's help and company and divine gifts, their hope and experience of love surpassing death, their gratitude. It's one of the reasons we come together, is to love one another in the broken places. The brokenhearted have a place with God. The brokenhearted, secondly, we see in the psalm, are called to praise God. The brokenhearted are called to praise God. Psalm 147 starts off, "Praise the Lord, it's good to praise our God. It's pleasant. A song of praise is fitting." And then I expect the next phrase to just be like, "Because the Lord has prospered us, and we are experiencing glorious blessings that flow from his merciful hand." And then it says he gathers the outcasts. You see, I think too often we think of praise as something that we do when we experience everything going well in our lives. But the Psalms so often challenge that thinking and teach us that the brokenhearted are called to praise God. It's a call to praise before the exile was over. They hadn't all been gathered back to Jerusalem. Their families were still struggling. which means that they are praising God even as their hearts are breaking. One of the great challenges from the Apostle Paul is when he says in Corinthians, "We're afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." You see, the Christian life, church, is one where we experience these realities simultaneously. And we need to learn to praise God not only on the mountain, but also in the valley. We need to learn to look to God and to worship Him in the midst of our trials when our hearts are breaking, because it is there. And if you've walked with God, you know this. It is there in the midst of your broken places that God often works most powerfully. Rick Warren, pastor, says it this way: "Your most profound and intimate experiences of worship will likely be in your darkest days. When your heart is broken, when you feel abandoned, when you are out of options, when pain is great, and you turn to God alone." In the midst of our broken places, we need a vision that's bigger than ourselves. We need to worship God. The brokenhearted have a place with God. The brokenhearted praise God. This psalm is so clear as well, and Isaiah is, that the brokenhearted have a powerful God. If you have a broken heart this morning, if you're struggling with your weakness, God is powerful. God is faithful. As in most of the psalms, what the psalmist does to kind of lead our hearts in this place is to take us back to creation. Do you see that? This psalm kind of goes back and forth between the specific instances of the exile and those who have been oppressed and scattered and their broken hearts and their very particular trial and wrestle with the majestic, glorious vision of the God of all creation. The psalms lead our hearts. They give us words to say. And what we see here in verses 4 and 5 is that for those who are outcast, those who are brokenhearted, they need to consider the stars. They need to look at the God of abundant power. The Lord lifts up the humble, it says. And it goes on to say that He covers the heavens with cloud. He prepares rain for the earth. He makes grass grow. He gives to the beasts their food. Reminds me a passage that many of you might know from Isaiah 40, where it says, "Why do you say that your cry is hidden from the Lord? Do you not know? Have you not heard that the Lord our God is an everlasting God? The creator of the ends of the earth will not grow weary. In His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weak." God is powerful. Last week, Pastor Reuben reminded us of what Jesus said in Matthew 6, right? In the midst of our anxiety, in the midst of our fear, in the midst of our wrestle, what does Jesus say? "Consider the lilies. They don't toil or spin. Look at the sparrow. Your Father cares for you." If your heart is broken, church, remember the power of God. We don't, like some religions and lots of people, we don't worship creation. But we do learn from creation. And I would even say this, we worship with creation. The heavens declare the glory of God. And if you are struggling in your weakness, I want to invite you to join with creation and seeing the greatness of God. Just my own personal testimony, I've talked about this before, but with my own struggles with walking with people in hard places, what is it that really keeps me sane? What is it that brings healing to my heart? Yes, the Word of God. Yes, prayer. Yes, worship. Yes, fellowship and all of you. But you know what else keeps me sane? Birds. I'm serious. Like every single week, a number of times, I'm out walking the dog in the early morning, and I hear the birds singing. And Jesus says, consider the birds. And God uses His creation to remind me of His greatness. That's biblical stuff in the Psalms, church. God is great. The brokenhearted also have promises from God. Psalm 147 gives us this promise. The Lord heals the brokenhearted. He builds up Jerusalem. You know, for the Old Testament people of God, this idea of Jerusalem being built up was their hope. They were in exile, and of course, Ezra and Nehemiah coming back and the rebuilding of the walls and the rebuilding of the city. We know a greater fulfillment, church. We've got even a better hope. And that is not the rebuilding of some temporal city, but the rebuilding of the new city. The rebuilding of the eternal new city. I was with Henry Manu's grandmother this past week, and Pastor Roy was reading to her from Revelation about this city where there's no more tears, there's no more mourning, there's no more trials. And I saw hope enter into her heart. God's got a promise for us, church, of a new city. Not only does God have a promise, but He is a promise, right? Look at the last part of verse 11 there in Isaiah 147. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear Him, and those who hope in His steadfast love. That word steadfast love is almost always that Old Testament word, hesed, the covenant love of God, which reminds us that God has bound Himself to us with His promise. It's not just that you have promises from God, but that you have the God of promise. If you are struggling this morning, if you're wrestling with weakness, the Lord has bound Himself to you. The Lord has bound Himself to you. If you belong to Christ, you belong to Him. Just a couple more points here, and then we're actually going to just take a little bit of time this morning and pray. But the brokenhearted are called to admit their poverty before God. We have a place with God. We praise God. We have the power of God. We have promises from God. But we have to admit our poverty before God. He lifts up the humble. His delight is not in the strength of the horse or the legs of a man. If you want to experience God's healing, the way to do that is through humility. There's this saying, you maybe heard it, that mercy flows downhill. And that's really contrary to our own kind of flesh, right? When we want to build ourselves up, we want to place our confidence in ourselves or in other people. And the path so clearly in this psalm and in Isaiah chapter 61 is that the healing of God comes as we humble ourselves, as we admit our poverty, as we recognize our need, as we confess our sins before God. You know, the poverty, it might be physical, it might be a poverty of health, it might be the loss of a loved one, it might be, as we said before, your own sin and stupid stuff that you do that puts you in a bad place. But God's grace is for you. God's mercy is for you. I was listening this past week to a pastor who was being interviewed on the radio, and he was saying a lot of really good things about the church being a place of justice and reconciliation within our city. But then he said something that just kind of, it actually made me sad. Part of his rationale for working for justice, he said, was we're all made in the image of God. Amen. The next thing he said is we're all good. Well, sort of amen. Right? We're made good, but if we're all good, then why in the world is this city so messed up? If we're all good, then why do I feel the pain that I feel and the loss and the struggle in this world? And if you don't have an answer for that, then I don't really have hope. You see, the message of the gospel starts not with God's hope because we're all good, but with God's grace because He is good to messed up, broken sinners. And that really is what I need to hear. The healing of God for sinful people. And then finally, just want to close with this. The brokenhearted are planted by God. The brokenhearted are planted by God. Isaiah 61 starts with good news to the poor. And then it says in verse 3, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they may be glorified. Where does Isaiah 61 lead? You see in this wonderful song of Jesus, healing, joy, praise, and that we are called oaks of righteousness, rebuilding the ancient ruins, raising up the former devastation, repairing the ruined cities. I've talked about this with kids sometimes when I do chapel at different schools, and go in there with an acorn. And then I encourage people to think about Tower Grove Park, and you walk through the park and you see these giant, majestic oak trees that are hundreds of feet tall, that are providing shelter and refuge. Trees that, like Psalm 1, bear fruit, are a blessing for all. And here's what the Word of God is saying to us. To those who are poor, those who are weak, those who are captives who need to be set free, that God's plan for you is not only your own healing, as much as it is that. It's not simply the binding up of your broken heart, but it's the grace of God that would bring healing to you, that you might then be a blessing to others. God's glorious plan. Elizabeth Elliot, who of course knew a lot of heartache and suffering, her own husband who was martyred as a young missionary, she says, "We want to avoid suffering, death, sin, ashes, but we live in a world crushed and broken and torn, a world God Himself visited to redeem. We receive His poured out life, and being allowed the privilege of suffering with Him, may we then pour ourselves out for others." I saw that again this past week as we were, as I said, just praying with and visiting Henry Manu's family. We were there with Sunita, Kristen, and Roy, and I, and with his grandma. And we walked in, and it was a place of incredible mourning, incredible suffering. And we just walked in and sat, not really knowing what to do. At one point, I went and talked to Sunita outside just about the funeral arrangements and how we can walk with the family in this incredible time of loss. And then I came back into the house, and it was pretty quiet. And there I looked over in the other room, and Henry's grandma, who was really raised him, was sitting on the floor, and she was even starting to smile. And next to her were Roy and Kristen. And Roy was there, only been here 6 months, doesn't have a lot of history with the Liberian community. They saw him and they asked, "Where's he from in Africa?" But there's Roy with his hands on Mama, having read the Word of God to her, at one point leaning over and kissing her on the forehead. And here she is, experiencing some of the healing grace of God, mediated through the presence of God's people and the promises of His Word. God wants to bring us healing, church. If you are in a place of brokenness, you have a place with God. His mercy is for you. But sometimes what we need to do is humble ourselves, right? And so that's what we're going to do just for a little while here this morning. And I want to just ask the musicians to come on up to the front. And we're just going to take a little bit of time before we go to the Lord's Supper this morning. And I want to invite you. The musicians are going to play. We're going to sing. But I also want to ask, I've asked some of you who are elders, deacons, staff members to pray. And so I want to ask you to come on up right now if you're somebody that I've talked to about praying with and for the church. If you would just kind of stand around the front here and on the front over here on this side. And here's the invitation to you all this morning, church. The invitation to you this morning is to humble yourself, recognize your need for healing, and to come and receive the amazing grace of God. And one of the ways you can do that is just by coming and asking for prayer. So we're going to sing. We're going to pray. You can stay where you are. That's fine. But if you'd like to just come on up this morning, these people here, every one of them, I know them, they have known trials. And they've known the grace of God in their broken places. So, musicians, would you lead us this morning? And we're just going to have a season of singing. You can stay seated. If you want to stand, you can stand. Let's let the Lord just kind of minister to us before we go to his table. Father, in this time, we just ask for your grace, Lord, to bind up our broken hearts. Bring us your healing. In Jesus' name, amen.